So, what's on your mind today?
Well, I'll tell you what's on my mind. You needed to have split this week into two different parts.
Ah, good. That means that there's a lot to it.
There was a lot.
I know. We kind of get into a panic at this stage. As a coach, I looked at all the material I had to do, and I only had two more weeks to do it, so I had to jam it all in. I think that was seriously part of it. You know, we made a 12-week course, and then we realized that we got to teach acquisition in 4 weeks, but we give ourselves, we really don't, because we got a leadership piece in there. But here's the good news. We have got 12, nine more sessions once we finish these 12 to go back and cover anything that we don't cover in detail. So that's not unusual. Half the people are still working on segmentation when we get to this. So, you guys are
well. If it's half, then we just, I think we just took it up to about 52%.
Anyway, so what did you find interesting? And what did you find frustrating?
Well, I took lots of notes. Let me just look at them real quick. So I like the fact that Kate's talked about the importance of asking for introductions and not referrals. I think part of it is there seemed to me to be a fair amount of emphasis when you think about VBSA, Rob, on the value aspect of it. And part of that value aspect is the 12-4-2 service model, the rapid response. And we're just now, you know, starting that. In fact, I mean, today is my first two scheduled client 12-4-2 calls. So, I think, you know, maybe 3 or 6 months from now, after we've begun to demonstrate to our clients that we're going to do what we say we're going to do, that it will be easier to ask for those introductions based on the value, as opposed to asking for them right up front.
Yeah, I mean, that's the premise. That's why we do segmentation, organization, and acquisition, and ask that you guys, you know, get these calls established early on so that by this point you've got a couple of months behind you of calling all of your clients. So it makes, you know, logical sense. But due to extenuating circumstances, you're right. I mean, there's the credibility that you have now. And if I asked and surveyed your clients and asked them, would you be willing to give Brad an introduction? I'd probably have 98% say yes, they would. Okay, so you have credibility already. It's just you have more. It's easier for them to articulate what it is that makes you special versus now. Now they would say all the nice things they always say about you. But in the future, it would make it easier for them to articulate what it is that makes you different, because you give them a very specific list of things that you do. So multi-generational planning. He helps me implement that planning process through 12 scheduled appointments. Four of them are reviews of the plan, two in person. And he offers rapid response to problems, 1 hour response, 24 hour resolution. How does that compare to what you're getting now? And there probably isn't anybody out there that would say, oh wow, I'm getting all of that already. You know, they're not. So it's, you know, I wouldn't sell the process unless it differentiated you. And I wouldn't sell the process unless you could easily articulate it. And I think that's what, you know, there are several things that make Supernova different. And that's clearly one of them. It's simple, but not easy, as you can tell already. That's a very simple thing to articulate. And a very challenging thing to.
Hey, Rob, I'm losing your audio. I'm seeing your lips moving, but I'm not hearing anything.
Oh, wow. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. So it's an easy thing to articulate, a hard thing to implement. And that I think is what you're finding, is that this sounds great. I want to do it now. Implementing it, that's the challenge.
Yeah.
Right.
I will say that I felt like I got one really good idea out of Kate's book in chapter 4. This was under the heading of reach hard to reach referral prospects, when he suggested asking a question something like, as you consider who might benefit from the work I do, I want you to think about people you know would benefit, but you're just not sure how to make the introduction.
Oh, that's good.
I thought that was a really interesting question. And he has a couple of variations on that. But it seems to me like it kind of gives the client permission to admit that he's not sure how to make the introduction, but then you can brainstorm it.
Right. Yes, good. You got the word brainstorm out of it too. That's great.
Yeah.
Well, good. Okay, yeah. I'm in touch with him quite a bit, and I'll tell you, he's, you know, the words are critical. And if you picked up on that, you get it. You know, finding the right words and stringing them together properly, it eliminates what we call reluctance. And that's the game. I mean, we got to get, you know, we spend hours and hours practicing things for fun, like golf or whatever, sports. But we don't tend to spend any time practicing what we do for a living, which is kind of crazy when you think about it. Because we're on stage, we're doing Macbeth every day, and yet we don't really memorize the words. So I'm a big proponent of getting the words right and putting them in the right order in order to have the maximum return on our time and energy. And I've seen it, I used it when I want to get an introduction. I can role play Bill Cates's model and I'll get four or five introductions from any FA that I want to. It's amazing. I mean, I'm at the stage where I'm more interested in my free time than I am necessarily my work time. But, you know, if you are interested in growing your practice, it works. It just works. And it's not that painful. I mean, we can role play it. We can role play it sometime. We can role play it now. We can role play it whenever you want. But when I do it, it's because I've done it so many times, it just flows. And when you do it and you practice it and you do it over and over, it will flow and you will get introductions. The only problem is people don't use it. It's like, okay, we got 100% chance of having this work, why don't you use it? Well, I'm just uncomfortable. It's because they don't know it. They haven't mastered the words, and so they don't want to be embarrassed by stumbling. So what you have to do is you have to practice. And that's like anything. I feel a little, you know, people will say, well, I feel a little stilted. You know, I feel like it's somebody else's words. Well, yeah, they are. They're better words than yours. So, you know, I don't jam it down anybody's throat, but if they want to, I want to help them, you know, because it's kind of up to you guys where you want to go. I mean, there's so many different strategies here. And so don't get overwhelmed by them. I mean, they're all good and they all work. The question is, what works best for you?
Sure.
What you've articulated is that you've already got a solid strategy. And, your network, you know, I just think you need to take your strategy of working with people of faith and network that into mastermind groups and centers of influence. And then, you know, you'll have plenty of projects together working with those groups that aren't business related, that you're going to have great friendships and great networking opportunities. And that should just work because it's your niche. You know, you've got it. So now the question is, you know, professionally developing it so that it works for you. One of the best models I've ever seen is the Young Presidents Organization. You know, YPO is really strong in Indy. Have you been associated with that or know about?
I have not. I mean, I've heard of it, but I've not been associated with it.
Yeah, it's amazing. I just kept running into people that were either members or new members or, you know, and those guys really take that thing seriously. They go, they listen, they participate, they network. So it's one of, now what do they have in common? They're all young presidents. But as a model, it's very solid. And what they do is they help each other and they work on their, they work on each one. So for, you know, this month's gathering, they're going to work on one guy's business. So they all together and he presents what his strengths and weaknesses are, what he's, you know, what he's really good at and what he might need some help at. And they all work together to coach him and help him. And it's amazing. So it becomes a very confidential group, but one that's very supportive. And you'd think in business that you wouldn't ever find that, you know, but they do. So that's what you can create. I had some guy, if you read my book, The Supernova Multiplier, you'll read a story of a couple guys in New York that put together their particular niche. They both came from technology backgrounds and they both sold their businesses and they've met each other when they started to go to work at UBS and they formed a partnership. They met me. They had already put together a mastermind group, and their focus was on entrepreneurs, particularly technology entrepreneurs in New York, but all across the country. And we helped them develop their mastermind group to a higher degree, but more importantly, their centers of influence. They had not spent the time with their center of influence that they should have. And so we got them into a regular routine of calling them every month and meeting with them regularly. And that just, and they, by the, these were kind of guys that were so thirsty for what I was selling that they just ate up every second of it. So by the third month, they already had a $60 million introduction that became a client from one of the centers of influence. They said, we always had this guy, but we never paid any attention to him. Now we paid attention to him. 3 months later, he gives us an introduction. And they didn't just, you know, meet with the guy. They showed the center of influence exactly what they were doing. They showed him the folder. They went through it page by page. They told him about the 1242. They articulated the scheduler and how it worked and why their experience for an entrepreneur would be completely different. Somebody that was either selling a business or about to sell a business, why the financial planning process was much more in depth and more important and customized for an entrepreneur. And so what I offered them was exactly what they needed. They needed structure and process for these guys selling their businesses. They knew what to say. They just didn't have the structure around their business. And so they just exploded. They're bringing in $120 million a year. And then they became private wealth advisors and, you know, raised their minimum to $20 million and boom, they're off to the races. So, they're a real team. You know, that was a real experience. So there's no reason that anyone couldn't do that, but they just, you know, they were entrepreneurs. They were, they're ready to turn their businesses into something explosive. So, you know, is there a lot of material here? Yes. This chapter, you know, I took a couple of years to write the stories about this chapter and the next chapter, you know, the stories on acquisition. So the supermodel multiplier articulates everything that's in these chapters. So reread it and you'll see that there's, I cover it in detail, in excruciating detail. Anyway, what other questions?
I have some other questions, but let me give somebody else a chance to ask if they have something. Okay, hearing none. On social networking, so you gave two examples, one from a Gail Uter in Sherman, Texas, that she had a great website. And the other one was from a Jason Macaluso in New Haven, Connecticut, who had a great LinkedIn profile. I found Gail Uter's website, but I could not find Jason Macaluso, and I think it's probably because I have no idea how to spell his name.
Okay.
You help me out with that?
Yeah. He was early on in the LinkedIn. That was before LinkedIn was even bought by Microsoft. So, anyway, he created a really interesting, he's a triathlete. So he created a LinkedIn group to support triathletes and network with triathletes. So that was kind of fun. Let me see.
I'm surprised I haven't heard from you.
You're so funny. You know, I like the sense of humor.
He gets that from me.
Okay, it's Jason Mac, Macaluso. Macaluso.
All right, just one more time, Rob.
Yeah, Macaluso.
Okay. No wonder I wasn't even close.
And he's, New Haven, Connecticut. And I assume he's still with UBS.
Okay. So with regards to the social networking, Dean and I have been trying to pay a lot of attention to creating a great website. And right now we still have more ideas than we have time to implement them. But we think we're on a pretty good path. And Rob, we get the importance now more than maybe at any point in time in my 36 years in the business of having a robust website, because we understand that people nowadays, a prospect is probably going to look at our website before they speak to us.
Right.
And so we have been paying a lot of attention to that. One of the things that you brought up, I think it was you, talked about a Google search. You know, have you ever searched for yourself and what comes up?
Right.
I wanted to ask if you have any experience with Google AdWords. One of the things that the firm made us aware of is that we can buy Google AdWords to increase our, to increase the likelihood that somebody will find us. If we choose the right words and go after that. Do you have any experience with Google AdWords?
No, but you guys have got a technology team that you can hire that will, and I'm getting rave reviews from them.
Okay.
There's teams in Pennsylvania that have hired them, and I'm shocked because I don't usually get that kind of positive feedback on any specialist, except for maybe financial planning specialists who seem to do quite well and help FAs. But these guys are raving about these guys, and they don't cost much money. It's a couple grand or something. And they will do everything for you. And they will actually, I mean, a lot more than I thought. So when it comes to website and increasing your profile, highly recommend that you go that route. Okay.
Hey, Brad. I think I'm familiar with what he's talking about. It's called Virtual Engagement Associate. Leb is doing there's like a free trial period that you can do. And then there's a cost after that. So I'll get you the information on that.
Okay, great.
Yeah, and I probably have three teams that are using them in Pennsylvania. And they're all just, you know, raving about them. So I'm like, wow, way to go. So
Rob, the name that Barbara mentioned, is that sound like what?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's Morgan Stanley. And you guys are, I think, the only ones that I know that are doing that. And I think it's very, very smart. So let me, one of the things to do is to make sure your LinkedIn profile is at 100%. Now, that's pretty easy to do. You just fill it in. And you guys are, quote, public figures, so you really, you know, other people are like, I don't want to give them all my stuff. I'm like, well, then, you know, go become an accountant or go, you know, go go do something else, because you're a public figure and you need to be out there in the market. Facebook, I recommend you use for your social, your contributions to the community should be profiled on Facebook. And Facebook's a great place to do searches for your clients before you meet with them, just to get caught up on kids and grandkids and what's going on. So people say, well, I don't want to be on Facebook. I said, well, good luck then, okay? Because that's homework. So you do homework on LinkedIn, you do homework on Facebook, and you use Facebook to just post your involvement in the community. So In terms of Google and getting searched, the key is to get an article written about you in a public, in some sort of public newspaper or magazine, particularly magazines. If you can ever get an article written about you in a magazine, it will be in there forever. And every time they Google you, you'll get this favorable article for the next 20 years. Which is a really nice way to introduce yourself to a client because they usually say very nice things about you. Not hard to do. You usually have to advertise in the magazine and then they agree to write an article, but it's got to be about something that, you know, that you're doing that's different. You know, it's easy, frankly, it's easy if you're a diverse person, right? Because they all want to write about diversity and women and things like that. But we're stuck with being white males. And so we have to do something that's extraordinary in order to get an article written about us. But you're doing some really good things, with your involvement in the church and helping the community and da da da. So I think that wouldn't be a bad way to go. You've done some really creative things in terms of getting people together and making a difference. And even though you may be a humble person, this is not the time to be humble. Neither should you brag, but you should just get somebody to articulate what it is that you've done and how you've done it. So as you do things, make sure you bring a writer with you. So, the other is, and they'll show you how to use LinkedIn with regular posts in order to raise your profile on LinkedIn. I can't tell you how many people, when they first hire me, I Google them and I can't even find them. It's sort of sad. And then, anyway. Some people don't want to be found. You know, I'm like, okay, good. You just want direct referrals. Okay, wonderful. But most people recognize the fact that the first thing they do is they, just like I do, first thing I do as soon as I get something about you guys, you know, somebody that calls me or calls Cindy, Cindy says we just got hired by these people. I do a search, right? And I search them, I Google them, I looked on LinkedIn, and then I look for any articles about them, and then I'm done. And then I interview them. But that's what everybody does today.
Hey Rob, we lost you again.
Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
I can't hear you.
Wow. Well, let's use this then. Huh? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Are you guys hearing him? Because I'm not.
Yes.
Yeah,
we are.
I'm hearing him.
Let me just make sure. Let me turn it up. Make sure the volume is up.
Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you, Brad.
I can't hear anything.
All right, Brad, can you hear me?
I'm going to hang up and try to call back in because I can't hear anyone. I can't hear anyone, so.
Okay. So you guys are hearing me?
Yeah, every time he says that, I'm fine. I can hear you okay.
Okay, I just want to make sure everybody else can hear me.
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
Okay, that's good. Do you think it's his ears?
We won't tell him that, but probably.
It's his hearing. Yeah, he's getting old. We'll say all these things before he gets on.
He probably heard that, though.
No, he's not smiling. He's still working, so that didn't get him at all. Are you back? I can see you.
Okay. I can hear voices.
What?
Hey.
Yay, you're back.
Wow. I have no idea how that has never happened to me before.
You were just fading and fading and fading. We said nice things about you while you were gone.
Well, I so appreciate that. I am going to listen to the recording to verify that, though.
Oh! Uh-oh. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. All right. So what other questions?
Let's see.
So I think that social networking idea of hiring virtual engagement associates is a great idea.
I mean, one of the questions I had, and it's not really a question more than just a comment and observation, is the, you know, committing and having every team member get involved with some sort of committee or board, and having that interaction with people to network. And I know Brad is involved, and so is Larry at some point. Caleb, I'm not aware of anything that you do, but it's probably just because I don't know. But I'm going to make it a personal goal to at least get on one type of, you know, something that I'm interested in and passionate about, and get involved in that in this coming year.
Good for you. That's awesome. Yeah. Just think about it. The leverage that we bring to the community if all of us did that, right? And then our spouses also did it, right? Now we just multiplied it again. So I will tell you, you know, I was lucky enough to have a spouse that did not mind doing this. In fact, she enjoyed it. And so I would often be on the boards and she would be the one doing the work. So, you know, she'd be in charge of the the ball or the, you know, the dinner or the whatever. And it was a huge help in terms of not having to drag your spouse to these things. You know, we both did it. We were both involved in the opera, and the opera group in Indianapolis is a crazy crowd. By its nature, you know, it's a different group. They're kind of an interesting character, you know, and me coming from an all sports family, no music, you know, I got involved in Chicago with the opera, and because nobody else would, and we were giving, you know, $100,000 a year away to them. The dance, you know, it was crazy. All kinds of arts, and nobody wanted to go. So I went. And so when I came to Indy, it was easy to do, and I got involved in the opera, and it was a lot of fun. And there were different people, but they were fun, interesting, creative, and you know, my kids love opera because I took them to the opera, and I didn't have to drag them. They liked it. And my, you know, and so we spent years with doing all that stuff. It was really fun. So that's why I say if you can be involved in one arts organization and one charitable organization, I think it's terrific for your family as well as for your, you know, their community in general. We all can't run for Senate after we're done with our business career, but we can be involved in the community enough to make a difference. So there's the business side of it, but more importantly, and I think I clearly articulate, you don't do this in order to get business. You do it in order to create new friends, which will then bring business. But until you become very involved, you won't get business from these things because people watch you for years until they give you their business. But when you become president and then you're a past president, then they come to you and ask your opinion and help and want to do business with you. So I just know that's how it works. And I know how it works because I interview literally thousands of people. And I've, you know, in my book, I interviewed people and I talked about my interviews because I coached them and this is where their business comes from. And it isn't a game with them. That's what they do. They're really serious about making a difference. And because they are serious about it and they got very involved, of course they got business from it. You know, one gal got, she didn't know her business. I said, where does your business come from? She goes, I don't know. What? I said, well, what do? You know, well, I'm on all these boards. I'm on like 6 boards. I said, well, I want you to add up all the business that you've gotten and find out where it came from. Well, 40% of her business came from those boards. Okay. And I said, so tell me what your process is. Well, I don't really have one. Well, how does it usually go? Right? This is called unconsciously competent. She was very competent. She just didn't know what she was doing. So she couldn't articulate what it was that she was doing. That she would take, it would take her about 7 years from the beginning to the end. She'd join a board, she'd get on a committee, she'd become head of the committee, she'd then become, because she was a, then she'd be on the executive committee for the board, and then she'd become vice president, and then she'd become president, and then she would be a past president, and she'd go on to another board. And the same people, in small community, same people are on all the boards, and they know each other, and they refer to each other, and it's just a good network. So that's how she got all her business. Her father had actually started the company. It was a little boutique firm. It wasn't a big national firm. And for them to be, have any kind of presence in the community, they, I mean, you know, to have a brand in the community, they needed to be involved. Just think, if you were your own master and it was your company, that's probably what you would need to do in order to establish your brand. Especially if you were the daughter of the former head of the company, you know, the president. And so it worked great for her. Anyway, and that's how we learn how to do these things, by watching people and then asking them questions, figure out what they do, and then articulating it for others. So that's, you know, that's why I'm always interested in how people do things, because then it gives me material to write about, which then helps other people. But you know, it's gotta be from the heart. You can't fake it. You can't get a, everybody goes on board and they tell me, oh, I was on the board for 6 years and I never got any business. I said, so what did you do? Well, I went to the meetings, right? Okay. Then what? Nothing. I just went to the meetings, right? And then you're a joke. You gotta make friends. You gotta run for office. You gotta be the president. And then you gotta, you know, keep, have an interest and continue to have an interest in that organization forever. So anyway, lots of material, so read the Supernova Multiplier again, if you haven't read it. It's got all the stories in it to help you. And this is where it really focuses on the, on acquisition. This is a very important chapter. So, Brad, what would you like your homework to be? We know what Barbara's already. She's already committed. Barbara's already committed. I love that.
Well, one of the things I had promised Dean was I was going to search out this group that does the Google AdWords, but fortunately, it sounds like Barbara's going to give me a shortcut. And So that's going to be my homework.
Yeah. Okay. Hire the virtual engagement associates.
Yeah. Hey, Rob, I do have one other question for you. Just out of curiosity, have you ever visited our website or our LinkedIn profiles? And if you have, do you have any comments or suggestions or Facebook page?
Usually I write them down. I know I did. It didn't, sometimes usually I print them off. But I think I was in between something and didn't print them off, but I'll go take a look at them. So I will do some homework.
Yeah, I value your comments.
Thank you. I will, research.
So I do have a question in regards to social media, Rob. What do you feel, sets a team or an advisor, above the rest? What are they doing on social media that differentiates them from the rest, the average people, the average team? Is it just more volume and content, or is there something specific that they're doing that sets them apart?
Why don't you go ahead, and it's too long an answer, Barbara, for this. So let's hire this virtual engagement team, because that's what they do for a living.
Okay.
They will help you to raise your profile, and but I will look at your websites and give you some quick feedback, because that's easy. That's very easy. Okay.
Very good.
Good question. Thank you. All right. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
You're welcome.